like a motherfucker.
We were recording. You said motherfucker. So. PG's out the window. Eh, fuck it.
Ladies and gentlemen, this podcast is completely free. So if you would like to show any type of support whatsoever, we ask you to do a couple things for us. First, go to our Facebook page, like and share the Facebook page. Second, head on over to iTunes, hit subscribe on the podcast. That makes it to where the podcast downloads automatically for you when it becomes available every Friday morning. And then after you hit subscribe, you head on over and you rate the podcast. 5 stars, preferably. And then you write a review about the podcast. Nice words, preferably. And then after you do that, you head on over to Twitter. Follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is...
@ComesNaturalPod.
And that's news.
Yeah. Mother... Oh.
Yeah?
PG, dude.
You said motherfucker as soon as we recorded.
Whoa.
The first couple seconds don't count.
Actually, it was already recording at that point.
Oh, god damn it.
So yeah, you fucked that up. Yeah, anyway, so comes naturally. We are
Joe,
Mike,
I'm Cody.
I felt so awkward.
Why?
It was a little weird.
No. You felt that.
Yeah.
Try it again. Intro us again.
Comes naturally. We are
Joe,
Mike,
I am Cody.
That felt way worse.
No?
We're not going to keep doing
it. All right, we'll run with it.
We are
Joe,
Mike,
I'm Cody.
God damn it, I can't find it. One more time. We're going to know it.
Comes naturally. We are?
Mike?
Joe? Oh, fuck.
I can't pick somebody else because you guys took them all. I'm still Cody.
All right, let's proceed.
All right. So.
First order of business.
Bring this kangaroo court to order. I was going to hit the table, but I don't want to.
That would have been very bad for you.
Break your brand new laptop.
We did our assignments from last week.
Yeah, they were.
Mike, what did you get?
I got Joe Hill's The Cape.
I got Joe Hill's Lock and Key.
And I got nothing to do with Joe Hill at all. I got The Rookie with Clint Eastwood and Charlie Sheen.
I totally forgot about that.
Nothing to do with Joe Hill at all. No connection whatsoever.
Nope.
Yeah, but so that was fun.
Is awesome. Or not.
With the Canadian
Either
Punisher.
Way.
I'll go over that in a minute. So we'll start with Mike this week on your impressions and talk about the book. What'd you think?
I dug it.
Enthusiastic. I like it.
It's yeah.
Really believable.
Okay. Yeah. I got The Cape. Initially, I didn't know, like I said last week, I didn't know anything about the book going into it. I didn't even skim through the art to kind of see what it looked like. So I'm going into this completely open-minded, didn't know anything about it. Started reading it, and the first thing you notice is, and it's a pretty quick read, too. It's like, what, a 6 or 7 issue arc? It's
yeah.
pretty, and it's a pretty fast read. So I definitely recommend it. So go read it, but I'm going to explain to you a couple things that happen. First thing that happened is it's instantly heartbreaking. Like 2 pages into it, you're like, oh, god damn it. I feel bad for this kid. And then something brutal happens to the kid, and you're like, what the fuck? I feel really bad for this kid. And then the kid grows up, and you're like, I fucking hate this dude. Like, I really fucking hate this dude. And then something else happens where you're like, I really fucking hate this dude, like, a lot. And then it flashes back, and you're like, oh, man, I feel bad for him as a kid, though. And that basically happens throughout the whole story. Like, there's a series of flashbacks where the main character, as a child, you feel very sorry for. You want him to, like, be happy, and it's heartbreaking. It tugs on your heartstrings a little bit.
Flares up your allergies a little bit.
But when you get to
all
him...
All kinds of cat dander all over it.
Yeah, allergies are awful reading this book. But when you get to the current day story of it, you fucking hate the man. He is a piece of shit. And there's no redeeming qualities to him at all. Once he starts being an asshole... He's full-blown asshole to the very end of the book. And but it's really good. You should definitely read it. The art was, at first I was like, I don't know if I like this art style. Like, it just wasn't for me. But then when the main character starts getting more and more twisted, like there's this one big splash page that the main character yells at another character in the book, says, "You have no idea what's in my head." And then the splash page, it's him yelling at somebody, but you see the images that is in his head. That splash page is beautiful. Like, there is, it's up there when it comes to splash pages, because at that point you're emotionally involved into the story. And all the shit, there's heartbreaking stuff in that splash page, and there's, I fucking hate this guy. It's all rolled up into one. It's like the only time in the book where the young version of him and the current version of him kind of meet up together. And it makes for a really interesting, really nice artwork right there. Some super fucked up things happen. One of which, I don't want to give the whole book away, which I don't think I'm doing, but... No. The weirdest thing is somehow, some way, somebody in the book drops a bear into a car full of people.
Okay.
And holy fuck, dude. It is like, as you're reading it, you're like, what's he gonna do with this fucking bear? And then you're like, holy shit, that car is somewhere. And then, bam, bear in the car, mauling motherfuckers to death. So if that doesn't make you want to read this book, I don't know what else I could say other than bear in a car, full people.
So is the cape like a hero in it? Or just
no, the cape is the asshole character in it. So initially you see something entitled The Cape. You're thinking, I'm going to root for the cape in this book.
Right.
No, fuck the cape. He's a piece of shit. You want him to die.
Fair enough.
Yeah. But when he's a kid, you feel bad. You're like, oh, poor Kate. But yeah, it's real. It definitely went a whole other direction than I thought it was going to. Especially after, like I said, the first two pages, you're like, ugh. And then you're like, oh, fuck this guy. I don't care anymore.
Okay.
So it does a good job of kind of flipping it on its head, and a lot of bad shit happens. And the way it's working towards the ending, you're like, oh god, I hope it doesn't end like this. I hope it doesn't end like this. And then it ends, and I'm gonna let you decide how it ends once you read it, because I don't want to ruin it. But leading up to it, you're like, fuck, if this book ends the way I think it's gonna end, I'm gonna be super pissed off.
But it was a definitive ending, right? Like, I don't know, Cody might know, was it, does it continue on, or that was it? It was just that one story.
That one. Because that deluxe edition that I gave Mike has two stories in it.
Right.
But the first one's a prequel story.
Yeah, which I have not read, because I wanted to wait to read this till last night so everything was fresh and everything was vibrant in my head. And then I got off work late and didn't get home till later, and so I didn't have time to read both. But I read the main one. Super good. I'm going to read the other one. I'm probably going to take this home again so I could read it.
Son of a bitch.
Check it out from the library of Cody.
Yeah, Cody, the city library of Cody.
Whoa, don't invite people.
No, come on over. There's plenty of shit.
Plenty of shit. Not plenty of room, just plenty of shit.
Yeah. But yeah, definitely, Joe, you need to read it, because you'll like it. Especially if you like Lock and Key, because the same guy, I'm guessing you'll like this. I don't know if you like Lock and Key, so let's find out if you like Lock and Key.
So, as a good transition, that was.
Super good.
I went to broadcasting school.
A lot of the stuff that you said for the cape actually seems to apply to Lock and Key. It's really weird. Like, the first 3-4 pages of Lock and Key are literally the dad of a family being killed by two guys looking for something. And so it's super sad there. And the family has to move in order to just be away from this killer who actually is caught. I don't know. It's actually a really good read. It's just such a scratch on the surface of what is going to happen later, because they introduce characters into it, like this woman in a well, that they really don't even explain. Like, even by the end of the book, you don't know who she is or what she was doing down there in the first place.
Nope.
You're introduced to, so the premise of the story really is that there's a house, and it has many doors in it, and it has many keys. And when you essentially, for most of the keys, match the key to the door, something happens. And so in this one, you're introduced to the ghost door, where you open it up, and the person that goes through it basically leaves their body. It becomes a ghost. Not everybody does it, though. If I recall right, it was just like children are the ones that are mostly affected or can see the doors and interact with them. Adults don't. And even when they go from a kid to an adult, they don't remember doing this anymore. But no, it was a good read. I do want to continue reading it. I think there are, what, six volumes of it in all total. Artwork was great. Simple, but not like simplistic. I don't know if that really makes sense.
Yeah, that's how is the artist the same?
No, that was Robert Gonzalez, I believe, and I don't know who does yours.
Gabriel Rodriguez.
Okay,
or Gabriel Rodriguez.
I don't know if it's just art for this guy's style of storytelling, but yeah, I felt like I said starting off, I was like, I don't really know if I like this artwork. But then, like, it's very intertwined with the feeling of the story. So it makes sense by the time you're done with it. You're like, okay, yeah, it was the right thing to do.
Yeah, and I would kind of say the same thing here. No, that's it.
Cool.
All right, so now that we got the literature stuff out of the way, let's get to good art.
Let's go to fine art. So mine was The Rookie, directed and starring Clint Eastwood. With Charlie Sheen, it had Raul Julia in it as the main villain.
Yeah, it did.
It had Tom Skerritt in it.
Yeah, it did.
Tom Skerritt.
Fucking Skerritt. Yep. He's not in it a lot, but he plays Charlie Sheen's dad. Spoilers. Boom.
Which little known fact, in real life, not Skerritt.
In real life, they're not related at all. So. If you don't know what The Rookie is, Clint Eastwood plays a cop who is a robbery, it's car, Grand Theft Division. Yeah, Grand Theft Division.
Yeah, he like heads up his own like.
Yeah, basically he's in charge of Grand Theft,
which
cases
I
and stuff like that.
Kind
of
feel like his like position is just made up for movies.
Pretty sure they have a Grand Theft Division.
Well, you know they have it, but like him being like the guy, you know. Very movie centric, but
so his
I'll allow it. It's Clint Eastwood.
Basically, yeah. His partner gets murdered. So spoilers, and then he gets the rookie, Charlie Sheen, who is a beat cop, who passes his exam.
And by beat cop, you mean a cop that masturbates a lot?
No, he walks a beat.
So this isn't a baseball movie?
No, not at all. No, not at all.
Aww.
So he basically gets this new rookie and he doesn't like him at all and things like that. So,
you never like the new guy.
No, not supposed to.
Yeah, not supposed to. So they have hard times, getting along with each other, and hilarity ensues when he gets Charlie Sheen beat up in a biker bar. Was pretty funny. I thought it was pretty funny. Charlie Sheen is an entitled prick in it, but he doesn't want to be. So he's shunning his money. Yeah, but
he comes for money in the movie, but yeah. He's trying to be like make it on his own and shit. That's why he's a beat cop, which anybody that comes for money in real life is not going to be a beat cop. Come on, you're going to be a rich guy.
Yeah.
Be a rich guy.
It's true. It's true. So yeah, and it's pretty funny. Clint Eastwood is really hilarious in it because he's kind of an asshole the entire movie, like the entire movie. He gets raped by a woman at one point in it, and he's like trash talking her while she's doing it. It's pretty funny.
This is kind of like, for people who might not be familiar with a lot of Clint Eastwood's earlier stuff, then not like Western earlier, but in this time frame when he's did this and like Heartbreak Ridge or some other movies, he's a very funny like one-liner kind of guy. And he's got that, he's very much Clint Eastwood in every movie that he does. But it works because he can turn up and down the volume of the comedy. So in this one, the comedy was turned way up. He was pretty funny in it.
He was. So
it's like the quick, old school, like early 90s one-liners, dude. Like, you're going to get a lot of those from him in it.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. So yeah, it's been a long time since I've seen it, and then towards the end of the movie, it just gets ridiculous because Charlie Sheen turns into Canadian Punisher. Literally rides a motorcycle, strapped with guns, Canadian tuxedo.
Nice.
Yep.
It's a straight like 90s action movie, dude.
Oh
like,
yeah, no one ever reloads.
Like, yeah, if you love the 90s action movies, you're gonna like this movie. Like there's no way around it. Like yeah. if you've ever sat and watched one or more Steven Seagal movies on AMC
or all of them,
you will love this movie.
Yeah. It's funny because it's one of those, it's that 90s cliche where you never see anyone reload a gun. Pistol, automatic, rifle, whatever it is.
And they take way too much punishment to live.
Yeah. And my favorite part is until it's needed in the story not to have a bullet in the gun, that's when it happens.
Yeah.
I was like,
you got to love those scenes.
You had a pistol that shot 37 bullets without reloading. Now it's out.
You needed 38. Somebody needs to get on that.
I always love the shotgun parts, though. They're like aiming at somebody. You're going to die. Click, click. And it's like, but that means you didn't have one in the chamber.
Yeah.
Or you I was just waiting. Wasted.
Because when you rack a shotgun, it sounds cool.
It sounds
you gotta,
cool.
You
right.
You got to have that for
well,
the
also, like,
scene.
Well, also, like, I'm not an expert.
And also,
weapons.
You need to do it with one hand.
Exactly.
And then hold
shoot your
or
fucking head off.
Or, if Terminator style, you have the flip
oh,
type.
Oh, the fucking yeah. The rifleman style, dude. Yeah. The lever action.
The one that would actually snap your hand off if you did it that way.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Unless you're a robot, you know, whatever.
You remember the Red Daisy BB guns?
Yeah, yeah, used to have one.
Yeah, they were lever actions. I
love those things.
Terminator 2 was my favorite movie growing up. It's very close up there still.
Shocker.
So I always tried to fucking troll that fucking Red Daisy. Couldn't do it ever.
No.
Because that motherfucker would get really stiff towards the end. And
yeah.
I still have scars on my hands from when like it pinched my fingers and bled everywhere. It was,
let me ask you,
don't do that, kids.
Did you have friends with BB guns, but they had like the pump action ones?
Well, my uncles, I grew up with my uncles. My uncles had pump action ones. So
didn't
if you get
you
like
feel
nine
like
pump
than
bucks,
them?
No, because that one, the pump actions I knew were more powerful. And so I knew I was getting the old,
but I liked
no, it
the
looked
lever
cooler.
Action because well, not just because it looked cooler, because it you know it takes a while to pump it up. Yeah, if
yeah,
you want
yeah.
like
you
a
get
good
fucking you get
tires
to like
all
seven
hell,
and
you're
like,
and
eight, and you look like you're doing a workout. That was weird.
I don't think
but
Joe
the lever
had
action,
the same pump action.
No, the lever action looked a lot
cool
cooler.
Like
when you're a little kid and you're trying to act like whatever your favorite action movie action hero star is. You feel a lot cooler with the lever action Red Daisy.
Yeah.
And plus, my granddad was super into Westerns, so I watched a lot of Westerns growing up. So the Rifleman was like one of the coolest dudes, too. And so you try to do it all fast,
yeah.
and then you like slam your thumb in the
and
fucking.
You're like, ow!
You're like, oh, fuck, this doesn't work!
Fucking pincher that it goes into.
Yeah.
Like,
So that thing was like little pincher. So when you pulled the lever action out and you popped it back into place, there's like a little. It was just two pieces of metal that
yeah,
were
just
slightly smaller, so it bent and held it. Mm-hmm. That motherfucker has taken more skin off the inside of my hand than my dick.
That's true.
First off, gross.
When did you get yours? I got mine for Christmas.
Like 2 weeks ago?
Which was fun.
Yeah, I got it yesterday, it's really painful. No,
Which is funny because the whole you'll shoot your eye out type of thing.
I don't think
you'll go blind
ever,
one way.
I don't think I ever actually got one. I think they were always
just
there. Just
in your family.
My uncles were, you know, the youngest one is like 10 years older than me.
Yeah.
So I always just, they were always there
okay.
growing up.
Okay.
So I always had one to mess around with as little as I can remember.
Nice.
Yeah.
Never shot my eye out, though.
Either way.
I did, however, shoot myself in the forehead with a BB gun one time.
Fair enough.
But luckily, it was with the old Daisy.
Okay.
And so it bounced off a cinder block wall. And I remember this so vividly.
Slow mode.
I remember it coming back because, like, you know, the BBs are the nice metallic. If you catch it in the right light, you could watch it as far as it'll go. And they don't go super fast. They kind of, if you have to shoot far away, you have to arc it.
Yeah.
So you remember it, like, I hit the fucking wall. And I'm like, oh, shit, it's coming right back at me. And, like, in that instant, I was like, am I going to shoot myself in the eye? And then, bam, right between the fucking eyes, right on my forehead. I was all like, whew, good thing I didn't die just now because no one would ever let me play with this again.
It's true. I'd be like, Mike,
You're dead.
You're done.
You're done. Give me the gun. Now think about what you did.
Go to your room.
But my eye. My eye. Don't worry about your goddamn eye. You want me to give you a reason to cry?
Rub some dirt in it and go in your room.
Here's some tussin.
That was my granddad. You need a reason to cry, boy?
No.
Good times. Yep. So move on to this week's assignments.
Yeah, so we're real quick, let's go thumbs up, thumbs down. The Cape, big thumbs up.
Lock and Key, thumbs up.
Rookie, thumbs up.
It's
a fun movie.
All right, so.
So this week, basically all of us brought a movie to the table for someone to watch.
Yes. It's all been something that's been simmering for a while that we've been wanting to unleash on somebody.
Yep, so what we're going to do is everyone's going to give somebody something to watch.
Yes.
And it's going to go in this order. Mike is going to give something to me.
Yes.
Yeah, he is.
I'm going to give something. I'm going to give a movie to Joe.
Okay, movie.
And Joe's going to give a movie to Mike.
Yeah, thanks for changing it to movie because I was like, this is going to get really weird.
Yeah, we were talking about you masturbating and shooting BB guns. So, yeah, motherfuckers.
This is my rifle. This is my gun.
I'm confused because they both shot me in the forehead. you're welcome.
one didn't hurt that bad. The other needed a towel.
One didn't hurt that bad. The other one tasted funny. Tastes like roast beef. Anyways, so we'll start with Joe's movie to give to Mike.
So there's a show that's coming out soon. Actually, I don't know exactly when, but it's soon. It spawned from a made-for-TV movie series.
Which right there should let you know it's going to suck.
It's no, because you haven't watched it yet.
No, I've seen enough to know.
He's seen commercials.
I've seen who the main fucking character,
and
who the main actor is.
How can you not be excited?
All right, I'm sorry. Go.
Yo,
so the main actor, Noah Wyle, if you know what that is, the show is going to be The Librarians, which I guess he's going to actually be in because Falling Skies is closing down or is almost over. So I'm going to have Mike watch The Librarian, the first one.
yay.
And then Mike, what do you have for me?
All right. This spawns from somewhere close to the same place that made me give you The Rookie last week. It's another 90s action movie, this time with a less than quality cast. one of my favorites as a youngin. This movie is called Stone Cold.
Yeah.
Not Steve Austin, sirs. Stone Cold, as in Brian Bosworth, is Stone Cold. That's right. That Brian Bosworth, the Boz, the former All-American Oklahoma linebacker turned NFL bust turned D action star. Yeah, this movie is amazing because it is made in 1991 and it qualifies as an action crime drama.
It's a crime that was made.
Brian Bosworth is a cop who's undercover as a biker gang person and
what's your gang person?
What's I can't pronounce. I can it's never like pronounce NPC this guy's last game. Name. But Lance Henriksen.
Henriksen.
All right, he's in it too. Everyone knows Lance Henriksen. Even if you don't recognize the name, he was in Aliens. So
yeah,
and yeah, an alien.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So I'm excited to hear the review on that. Because that one, The Rookie, I saw fairly recently. Stone Cold, I guarantee you I haven't seen in at least 15 years.
Same thing could be said with everybody.
But this is, from what I remember, like every stereotype of 90s action movies, you're going to get.
At least that's good.
Unnecessary nudity.
Oh. Yes.
Over the top. Biker gang violence.
Early 90 boobies.
Yeah. So that means tan lines. So yep. If you're a fan of that, congrats.
yes.
But yeah, that's Cody's movie this week. Stone Cold.
All right, Joe, you ready?
No, I'm afraid. Dun, dun, dun. I'm so afraid.
So your assignment is from 1996.
Okay.
All 90s, all the time, baby.
Yeah.
It stars Hulk Hogan.
Oh, God.
Tropic Thunder? Wait, whoa, nope. Nope. We're not letting you off that easy,
no,
sir.
No, sir. It's called The Secret Agent Club.
I'm a fan of Hulk Hogan and a lot of the stuff that he's
not
done.
Not anymore.
Thunder in Paradise. Suburban Mr. Commando. Commando, yeah. Mr. Nanny. I think I've
Santa with muscles.
I think I've avoided that movie. I've never seen it. Mountain. Never seen
Mike's
it.
Mike's never even heard of it.
Dude, if anybody...
If Mike hasn't heard of it, then fuck you.
if anybody...
The Secret Agent, you said it was?
The Secret Agent Club.
The Secret Agent Club.
The same year, a movie came out called The Secret Agent. Do not watch that one.
Am I going to have to like go to Hulk Hogan and try and borrow this from him because he's the only one that owns it?
He's trying to burn all the copies.
Oh, okay.
I can't wait for next week.
And I want you to also have a counter of how many times he says brother.
Okay.
So I'm pretty sure it's high.
I can't wait for this. It's going to be amazing. Read the synopsis,
Or Cody was going to give that one to me, but he realized, like,
Amazon doesn't even have it. Like, like, to stream. Like, it's not even available to rent to stream.
Why would it be? There's no way.
It's Amazon.
Okay, but to clear something up, I have heard of this movie. I had just never, ever seen it. I've never seen it available to watch anywhere. Had I ever come across it in, like, an old DVD shop?
It has been on TV just recently.
Guessing IFC.
Independent Film Channel.
No, not even
Aren't
that.
Aren't they better than that?
Yes, yeah, they are. Probably.
Epics? Was it Epics that had it?
No.
Doesn't sound like an epic movie.
I think it was one of those, like, the like action movies. Like, you know, there's Stars.
Like Stars Action.
And then there's, like, the ones below it, like Encore and stuff like that. Yeah. It's in one of those.
So you might be able to track it down on your on-demand.
All right.
Without having to rent it online.
I'll try.
Well, it's available to rent right here.
Where? Gotcha.
iTunes?
It's a tunes of sort.
It is. It's available to rent online, if you know what I mean. God, I can't fucking wait for
wink,
next week.
Wink.
It's going
to
be amazing.
Just so you know, Joe, Cody was going to give that one to me.
Which
but it
sounds like it would have been
It would have made so much sense that it would have not been fun.
Yeah.
Like, of course I'll watch the Hulk Hogan movie.
Well, I just can't wait till next week when we record and then everyone realizes that I have one less friend in this group. Remember the show used to be three friends? Now it's two friends and that guy that hates Cody for life? That's going to be the show.
A guy who hates Cody and barely tolerates Mike. You know that guy?
Yep. Wonder why he keeps showing up.
Because I've got nothing better to do.
It's true.
You got nowhere else to be.
Next week we're going to hear, oh, no, I have lots of homework I have to do. Yeah.
I got nowhere else to go.
So, yeah, so that's it for assignments.
Yeah, motherfuckers.
So, again, what does everyone have, Mike?
I went total blank for a second. I have The Librarian, the made-for-TV movie starring Noah Wiley.
Yeah.
Who, for some reason, signed a lifetime contract with TNT.
But they love him so much.
They do. They keep putting him in shit. Makes no sense.
He's a good actor.
He was like the third or fourth best character in the bad years of ER.
Oh, that's right. He did do ER.
Yeah, that's where he can. That's where he's going to start, really. I got Stone Cold.
I've got The Secret Agent Club. I have a feeling that there should be a tagline like The Secret Agent Club, Cody Banks.
Oh, no, because that would make it too good.
Cody Banks had Paul Giamatti in it, who's a high-level actor. This one's starring Hulk
Wasn't
Hogan.
Wasn't that the liar one?
Big Fat Liar? Yeah. You're right, my bad. Yeah, whatever.
Mike, get it right.
The guy who played Cody Banks has been in movies with good actors, so that doesn't count.
All right, so yeah, that's it for assignments.
And then also when you come back, you have to give your review in a Hulk Hogan voice.
All right, brother.
Brother.
Oh, it's gonna be fantastic.
Full get up too. Like you have to dress the part to actually really truly capture the essence.
We'll say that I did.
We'll say that it's a podcast. There's
you're like,
no
oh my
visuals.
God, he really did dress up with a yellow bandana and yellow tank top.
He ripped his shirt off.
You Hulkamaniacs.
So he's gonna pound his foot and like cup his ear. Yeah, so that's it for that. He's going to come just as
$10 on Amazon Prime.
$10 for that? Ugh,
Amazon
gross.
Prime. I can get it shipped to me.
$10. Oh, yeah. Go ahead and spend $10 on it.
Don't. Remember what movie was it that you bought where they're like, are you sure you want to buy this?
Captain America. Yeah.
It's like, it's not the Captain America you're thinking of. This is not the one you want.
17
That's what
Papa
Amazon's going to do to you. So they're like, sir, we don't even have a replacement for this movie.
It's Amazon. They're just like, yeah.
Yeah,
take your money.
We've been sitting on this one for years. Go, take it.
They're going to throw a party. We sold it!
There's a guy at the Amazon warehouse who has it in his locker just waiting for somebody for that to come across the order screen one day.
Sitting
like,
on the dock.
Shit.
I almost should just buy it to make that guy's day happy.
They walk up to it like it's a fucking Indiana Jones movie.
Where's this movie? Like they get a staff and it's like... They play like a giant 3D warehouse. He's like a little miniature model and like a staff that comes down. The light hits it the right way.
He has to go through it, like finding it and like dig underground and have to worry about Nazis and... It's gonna be good times. Well worth
like,
it. As long
the
as
word
you can,
of God.
As long as you can get it by next week, that's all that matters.
Yeah, man.
Or rent it online if you know what I mean.
Five guys died as I tried to get this coming. Movie.
It's gonna be awesome. All right, so that's it for the reviews or for our assignments for the week. Anybody got any news to talk about? It's been light, but
the Jurassic Park World trailer.
Jurassic World.
Blew my fucking mind.
Was extremely awesome, and I actually. Somebody did. I was trying to find it while Mike was talking. Somebody did an interview with the.
Thanks. Mike's talking. Let's do all this other shit. I'm trying to
multitask, and I'm also trying to like optimize my time. Anyway, so one of the biggest concerns that a lot of people have had about this movie, and I know Cody and I talked about it, it's the genetic manipulation that they were doing with the dinosaur, and. I know some people that I've talked to originally thought that it was a human that they were DNA that they were crossing with the dinosaur. And surprisingly, that was in the original script.
Ugh, gross.
And they had 3D mock-ups of what the dinosaur would look like.
Oh, it did it look awesome?
No.
Did it look like awful. It looked Killer Croc?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's
it
awesome.
Looked like Killer Croc.
I want to see Killer Croc in a Jurassic Park movie. Then that means we might get a Jurassic Park Batman crossover if we do that.
But the next thing that people were saying and that I would have gone along with is that it is actual. It's just a cross between two different dinosaurs. Because in the original movie, in the original book, the way they got the dinosaurs is that they found the DNA inside a mosquito, but it was incomplete. So they crossed it with frogs in order to complete the DNA, which... really is what caused the problems in Jurassic Park 1.
Because everyone knows, dinosaurs, okay. Frogs, fucking horrifying.
Motherfuckers.
So anyway, what he was basically saying is that the reason why this creature exists is because they were looking for almost like an attraction that would be bigger, smarter, stronger, just more, you know, entertaining to watch.
Hey, so let's see this. We could cross, I don't know, a dinosaur doesn't move very fast.
Oh, and it's a cross between a Velociraptor and a T-Rex, I believe you said.
Fucking nailed it.
Yeah.
I knew it.
That's the one that makes the most sense. But yeah, has that been confirmed?
That's what the director said in this interview.
Well, just the thing about that, though, is so let's take two of the most dominant predators and let's mix them together. I'm pretty sure it's going to make a docile creature we can just watch from a distance, right?
I don't think they were going for that.
Oh, no. It's going to make an unstoppable killing machine. That's right. That's what it was.
They just underestimated how smart, strong, fast this thing would be.
The motherfucker, the Velociraptors from the first one, learned to open doors in like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So apparently no one watched the footage from the first one because that's not a good idea.
They actually brought that up in the article. I think it was just the writer who had said that people were complaining about the DNA manipulation and how smart this thing is, but they never complained about how Velociraptors could open doors in the first one.
Well, those people are dumb because that's the first motherfucking thing I would think of. Was like, hey, those little ones that ate everybody, they were really smart. Let's see if we can involve those because that's brilliant.
But the thing that caught my attention most was the very last scene of that trailer when Chris Pratt jumps out on a fucking dirt bike and all these velociraptors are running with him. I'm like, does he have a pack of fucking trained raptors to help him hunt?
They mentioned that in the article, too, and which is why I wish I could find it.
You read it. It's fine.
I read it, yeah. That they basically said that those were, like, trained
raptors. Oh, my God. That's fucking awesome, dude. Yeah.
I had two things about that.
On you like a fucking pit bull.
It's either I thought either they're trained or they're both running from something that's more terrifying than velociraptors.
Well, it looked like they got like uncaged,
yeah.
Right?
And well, yeah, because they like have the little doors that open up.
Yeah, and I don't think the mystery dinosaur within this thing would be able to just. I would hope that he wouldn't be able to just unlock the cages and like smorgasbord on these things. Because he's eating everything. He fucking ate like two different. Vehicles, which those sphere vehicles are awesome looking, but they show them in the was the Brachiosaurus pen. Like I'd be so afraid to
human pinballed across the fucking
exactly.
That's actually, one of the things that's the one thing when I saw it in the trailer, I was like, ugh, like I don't know why, it just felt too futuristic looking.
It was a little bit out of place,
and I was like, I don't like that, but. It makes for a cool visual when you see that busted ass one later on in the trailer. You're like, oh.
Where he pulls that giant tooth out of.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's no bueno, man.
Like I said to Joe today, I was like, that's the part where I'd be like, yeah, I'm head of security, so I'm going to go ahead and get this helicopter. I'm going to see if I can spot him. And be like, in the helicopter, like, yeah, he's headed over the water, so I'm going to go ahead and head over the water. And, oh, look, he's, there's my house. I'm just going to stop and make sure he's not going there.
Dude, fuck going over the water. Did you see that thing that jumped up and ate that goddamn shark at the Shamu pen?
So, speaking of that, the Nerdist posted a thing. That's actually technically not a dinosaur.
I don't give a fuck what it is.
But
the
thing
ate a shark.
Well, this is what's more terrifying than that. So, granted, if you watch that part of the trailer, it's like a SeaWorld show, like Shamu. He lands and water splashes up on the people, right? I thought, oh, that's cool. So this giant thing that just jumped out of the water, ate a great white. The only thing protecting you between that and them, him and you, is a railing that's supposed to stop you from falling over.
It literally looks exactly like what you see it when you go watch Shamu at SeaWorld.
See, the difference is Shamu has that like the big glass. That like he can't get past because like the, like you know like he can't like you know if
well
he'd be
this
crying,
thing
guess,
this
kid,
thing
but.
Had like a pin thing up but like you see how far it jumps out of the water and how
that's
big it is. I'm like, that motherfucker could jump out, grab a handful of people
because you when he jumps up you can see like one of the views they show you is directly on to seeing him like this. I was like, no, we're not watching this on a screen or like there's not like a like at least a gate like a net or something to make me think I'm safe. This shit is just I can just reach out and like. Oh, that's cool. The
thing looks fucking gnarly, too.
Well, this is the thing, though. That's not just an aquatic creature. That goes on land.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, which means it could jump out and just
walk
eat through
the
crowd.
People.
Yep.
And the idea of scale, that looked like a great white shark
on
that crane. So, those things are fucking huge. That thing just ate it in one, like, just one. Oh.
That was a snack.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was like, fuck that. I want to see this movie.
Which is actually one thing to think about. How do they feed all these dinosaurs?
Sharks. Just tons of sharks.
Speaking of feeding stuff, so I watched The Flash, the new TV show. It is awesome. Something occurred to me the other day on watching, I want to say it was last week's episode, where they captured another
metahuman.
It was a guy who can turn his body metal.
Yeah.
They put him in one of the little pins inside the thing to hold him, because that's where they're... makeshift jail is. Do they feed him?
Yeah, they haven't really addressed that yet. They've shown him locked up like three different people, but they never show him again after that. It's like, I hope someone's taking care of those.
Another
guys.
Thing too
it's
is
implied.
The one that can turn himself into gas.
How do you keep him in a? Yeah. You just put him in a container like a giant like.
Because it means he can't breathe, right?
A Gladlock.
Gladlock, yeah.
Like
make sure it burps. Make sure it burps, you know. And
like I was like, he's just gonna suffocate, right? I know he turns into gas, but like
on top of the Tupperware,
real like a brick.
Yeah.
I was like, they don't feed these guys at all.
I'm sure they do.
Yeah, it's just
they're
implied.
Just like, who wants to fucking watch that on TV, Cody? Shut up.
But like if
they Jeff Johns talking to you.
Four
fuck
seasons
you,
later,
I would be like, Jeff Johns, how
about
you take off that hat, you weirdo? And how the fuck, they're just going to starve these people to death? And one guy's going to suffocate because you can't like open the air vent. And he's just going to go, Wait. Battery. Air conditioning. Hello? Green gas guy?
Is the gas guy still in here? I can't tell. Did it go clear? I don't know. Open and find out.
What smells?
So it was the only thing I thought of that, especially today, because like, they revisited one of the metahumans that was in there, and I was like, man, I hope that guy got some food, because that dude would be hungry and bored out of his mind. If you really want to torture him, though, put on like Elevator Christmas music.
For the musclehead metal guy?
Yeah.
They'd do something like that for him.
That'd be terrible.
It would be awesome to watch. So I just thought of that when you said feeding him. It made me think of that again because it makes no sense. I was like,
so
slowly killing him.
Like we were talking about Jurassic World, I was actually very like, I don't know about this movie because like...
I'd forgotten about it.
Sequels so long after, like especially the last good one because there's been three, right?
So since the first one?
Since the first one, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, to be honest, like the second one had a good premise. It just wasn't.
It had cool parts too. It had like super cool parts. But
read the book.
It got,
the book was so much
be
better.
That guy.
I'm gonna be that
damn
guy.
Damn it, Joe. Oh, I read books. Fucking fuck you.
Says Mr. I read books.
What?
He's
comic
he's
books.
Books?
I read a book. Way different.
Autobiographies. Autobiographies.
Just
autobiographies
on audio. No, this trailer is one of the first trailers in a while that I saw and that just completely got me hyped for a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially a movie that I was like, meh, on going in. I saw this trailer, I'm like, I'm all fucking in. I don't care what the next couple trailers are. I don't know what the first few reviews are. Like, it could be awful. Boom. But this trailer, like, it got me hook, line, and sinker. I'm ready to watch this fucking movie.
I believe in Star-Lord, so I mean...
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I've seen trailers that of like, yes, this confirms everything I was hoping for. I'm ready for it. But like I said, this one is the first one I've seen in a long time. Took a movie where I could really give a fuck about and then made it look so fucking awesome. I want to see it. So pretty pumped up.
Yeah, and I have to say the same thing.
Did you guys see it's floating around online? I guess on the extras of one of the seasons of Parks and Rec. There's like a gag reel of Chris Pratt acting like Steven Spielberg's bugging him about being in Jurassic Park 4. And he's like, Steve, I can't do your movie, okay? And I was like, I should can't. He did that in 2010.
It's awesome.
Psychic.
It's true.
So Star-Lord has psychic capabilities is what I'm saying.
And he used the flip camera.
Yes. He's so holding gross. It out to his left. And I'm like, oh, that's fantastic.
Gross.
I will say it's interesting, because Cody pointed this out earlier when we were talking about it, that he filmed this movie before Guardians.
Yeah.
And then Guardians came out. It's already on DVD. It's already coming out on Blu-ray DVD. And this movie...
It's out on digital, right?
Yeah.
It is out on digital, yeah. And this movie hasn't even been released yet.
We just got the first trailer the week after Guardians hit digital.
Yeah.
Do you think part of it was like, hey, we know Guardians is going to blow up. Let Chris Pratt turn into this huge star before we...
No, because if you think about it, remember, everyone was counting Guardians out. But he was he signed the deal to be in Guardians during filming of Jurassic World, and they already had a release date set.
Huh.
So, like, yeah, it's... Shit
that
would
make me think that, like, Steven... Spielberg had something to do with this, right?
He's
produced it,
yeah. Yeah, he has to have known, like, smart movie people knew Guardians was going to be good. You know what I mean? I feel like they kind of had to.
Well, no, he hadn't signed on for Guardians yet.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, well, was the original release date the release date they held? Oh, okay. That's a long-ass time.
Yeah, no,
like,
that's true.
Because of the fact that Guardians... You know, I was thinking maybe something got delayed... So Guardians came out first, and they're like, okay, we'll hold it even longer. Nope. Let Pratt blow up.
No, he did this.
And they had a release date already for this before he even signed on to do Guardians.
Yeah.
I like Chris Pratt and everything I've seen him in except for Parks.
Because he was signed on to do Jurassic World.
I think he would be good in that.
Like,
I haven't
way
watched
back.
I've watched a little bit.
I tried to watch Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
It's not good. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's hilarious in some of like the...
Snow 30 Rock.
No, it's not.
Not at all.
30 Rock
and I like
awesome.
Amy Fuller a lot, too. And I'm like, be in something better, please.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm just ready for the park to be open for Jurassic Park. I mean,
It made it look like Disneyland, which is a fucking frightening idea. Yeah,
all the little kids running around.
How do you know?
Because
this happens in the world where all that shit happened before and got really fucked up.
Not just that.
So like
this movie happens. That park is open.
Yeah,
like it is a fully
not
functional
like,
park.
Oh, we're launching today. No, it's fucking.
Yeah,
open.
So it's full of
it's
people.
Established,
and it's like, oh, people are coming from all over the world, and it's like, oh, cool, we're gonna have fun. We see dinosaurs. Ooh, look, hey, that guy got ate by. Oh shit!
And it makes me wonder if they just rebuilt the park, or they moved, or they built it somewhere else, like a different island. Like that island is. That island, just forget about it. It's fucked. And
No, this is the same one because they show.
So that's what I'm saying. Is it the same island?
I think so.
I think so.
Because that's messed
looks
up.
Like
that's
it.
Messed up.
Like,
oh my god.
Because really, if you think about it, like instead of going to a new island and making all these dinosaurs, be like, hey, if we
Well, they don't have to go to a new island to make the dinosaurs.
Like, these dinosaurs already, like,
yeah.
There's got like the brachiosaurus. Of, like, we just build new fences.
But I mean, like, but that's
we're
what I mean.
Good,
look,
right?
look at how horrible would that be? Okay, you're a construction worker. Your job is now to go rebuild those fucking fences at Jurassic Park.
Not my job.
No.
I don't care if I'm a construction worker or not.
Hey. Think about all the construction workers that were working on the Death Star 2. That shit was under construction when it got blown up.
That's true.
They had families. Now they're just drifting off into space.
All of a sudden,
we
just jumped into the Mallrats talk. No, that one's Clerks.
We're just talking about Star Wars. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, that's the Clerks talk, though.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like, it could be worse. You blow it up in space or eaten by a dinosaur. Your choice.
Blown up in space.
I don't think either of them are very good.
Nope, those are your choices.
Blown up in space.
It's I'll A or B. A one or two.
Because at least I could say
no,
I was in space.
Probably eaten by dinosaurs.
No, fuck you. You're high.
No, that means
you're dinosaur shit pretty soon.
I have a chance of surviving.
No, you don't.
Yes, you do.
If a dinosaur eats you, we're not saying the dinosaur ate part of you
but
or
I'm
ate
saying
your fucking leg.
Before
I'm saying
that,
a dinosaur ate you.
Before that, my only shot on the Death Star would be to like know to get off the Death Star.
See the difference
when
see,
I go to Jurassic Park, I can know that I can sit there and go, well, there's something running at me. I'm going to go run this.
Or at least the way I took the question is you either die blowing up in space or die being eaten by a dinosaur. Which way do you choose to die?
See, you're a half glass empty, sir. He took it the glass half full because he thought,
okay,
hey.
I'm redirecting the question to you. You're dying one of these fucking ways.
All right, so
which
the question
one
is,
are you picking?
Yeah, A, you
space.
Die in space, or B,
or dinosaur shit.
Okay, so put it that way.
You're a space nerd. Of course it's space.
Stop. Let me get my explanation out, because dying in space would be absolutely horrible, but dying in an explosion, I wouldn't know that I probably died. It just, I'm dead. So putting it that way.
Ah, see, but he said dying in space. Doesn't mean you died in an explosion. You could have been shot off and like just drifting.
Well, he's still saying from the Death Star,
that was a giant explosion. That would be awful. I was assuming the explosion. Yeah, drifting off until like my oxygen ran out and then I just suffocated.
And the
yeah,
thing
fuck
is
that, give me the dinosaur. I would be like, can you launch a dinosaur into space?
You're being eaten by a dinosaur. At least I can breathe.
Think about this though. So I'll even throw this on it. Dinosaur doesn't kill you when he bites you. He just makes you bleed out slowly, and you get picked apart by those little fuckers.
Oh, the little tiny ones that took out Newman?
Or getting shot off into space and suffocating.
Yeah, so you get shot off into space.
See, those are both
but
awful.
I'll give you
the
caveat.
Half empty now?
Wait, hold on.
No,
the caveat about that is...
Okay, give me the caveat first.
In space, you do have one of those little to float back placings, but there's shrapnel in it, so... Your choice.
Yeah, but it wouldn't help you, because if we're assuming that you're at the Death Star is blown up, so you... What
you'd
are you
be,
doing?
You'd be traveling so fast because the momentum would just carry because there's no resistance. Just shh.
Wait, let me ask you this. Well, no, you'd be fucked no matter what.
Hold on. So say you get blown up, right? Not blown up, but an explosion. You're outside of the Death Star doing some fucking welding or something.
Like,
explosion hits, doesn't fuck you up, but it takes off your safety harness, and now you're flying through fucking space, right? And you're like, well, I can't fucking stop. I'm going to die. Do you, being the space nerd you are, do you say, fuck it, this is awesome. I'm going to fucking sit here till my oxygen dies out, and then I'm going to open my mask so I die real fucking quick when it's time to go? Or do you, like, holy shit the whole time? Because that sounds kind of cool. Like, if you could grasp in that short amount of time, like, okay, I'm going to die, but I am rocketing through fucking space. Nobody's ever done this before the way I'm doing it. No one's ever going to know I did it because I'm about to fucking die.
I would be just fine with my thumb out, like, hoping someone sees me.
Someone picks me up.
X-Wing just, like, slows down. Gives you the matches, bird, and then...
like,
Rebels for life, bitch!
You hear, where'd you come from, brother? Oh, the Death Star. Fuck you!
Rebel!
Damn it. Should have said, oh, I was flying by, my ship broke down.
I was in one of those Y-wings or D-wings or whatever you call it.
Whatever it is fucks call it.
I was undercover.
Mike. That was pretty good.
Mike almost mongered all over.
So between bleeding out...
And being picked apart by picked those apart, little ones.
Or suffocating, I'd probably suffocate.
Yeah.
Because at least you're in space, and if you could grasp it, you're like, I'm in space, dude. You fucking kick back for a second, arms behind your head, fucking taking the view, and you're like, you're okay with it.
I'm not looking at my insides.
Punch your goddamn helmet in a hole in it and just die.
Yeah, so.
Because it happens, like, quicker than instantly, right? Like, it's just
no,
fucking.
Actually, well, it's suffocating over a period of, like, 2 to 3 minutes.
No, I'm saying
minutes.
If your helmet comes off.
No, that's, yeah.
I thought your head just, like, swells up and blows up.
No.
And you're dead.
No,
I saw that in a cartoon.
That's not true at all. You literally suffocate, like, and it takes, like, you know, however long it would take for you to suffocate, because it's a little different for everybody. So it's like 2 to 3 minutes. You can actually be blown out into space.
That doesn't sound right.
No,
I obviously was exaggerating the head blown up part. But if you're in space without
it happened to an astronaut, and I don't remember who it was. He lost atmosphere in his suit. He was able to get back to the space station in time, and he just, like. All you do is you suffocate, you slowly black out, and if you get back in time, your vision is fucked. Because if I had the article pulled up, I could explain it better.
This is fucking fascinating. I thought it was like, if you're in space without any type of protective helmet on, I thought you died like...
Nope.
Fucking...
Think about Total Recall with Schwarzenegger.
Well, I'm trying to base this on real life.
You just based your original theory on a cartoon you saw.
I was exaggerating that one. I'm being very serious now.
The visuals of Total Recall is still off because he, like, you know, starts to blow up and stuff, and that's not going to happen. Your skin actually has enough force to actually keep you in it. You might swell just a little bit, but you're not going to, like, blow up at all.
Oh, yeah. That's why it's terrifying.
Your air actually gets it will get sucked right out of your lungs. So actually, the one thing they would say is if you're going to get sucked out like that, just let everything out. Because otherwise, it's going to be painful trying to hold it in. But yes, you're basically going to slowly suffocate. You're not going to freeze or anything like in Red Planet.
I thought
anything.
That was part of the deal, too.
No, it's super cold, but you don't freeze instantly.
How cold is it in space?
It depends. If I recall right, the moon in... The moon can go from, like, plus 300 and something degrees Fahrenheit, I believe, to like, minus 200 to 300 degrees Fahrenheit, depending on the side
minus
that you're on.
300 degrees doesn't fucking freeze you instantly?
Hmm.
How fucking cold does it have to be frozen instantly?
Pretty fucking cold, man.
That's pretty fucking cold, dude. It was, like, 50
you
degrees
would,
when I woke
die,
up this morning.
You would die before you froze, though.
Yeah, you would. Because, again, it all comes down to you're suffocating. That's how you are dying. So you can probably last maybe 2 minutes, maybe, you know, however long that you would really last.
You're not Tim Robbins. You're like,
no. Yeah, you're not going to instantly freeze
over. Well, I
didn't
think like but I thought at least, I thought that type of cold would not like, oh, I got icicles from my hands now kind of thing, but like would stop all your shit from working. Not like fucking Terminator 2 when he's walking through the and his legs breaking off and shit. But I thought that would be like cold enough to like instantly stop like blood. God damn.
Well,
it.
To extremities, but that would still be in your suit. It would take a while, but your extremities, if they were loose in space, would get frostbite
eventually. Yes, yeah, but you're gonna die.
That's what I'm basing. If you're without a suit in space, something fucked up happens.
No, you're still gonna die of
suffocating
before
first,
you freeze.
Oh yeah,
before you freeze, you're gonna die of suffocation.
Yeah. That's so cold.
But like I said, that still means that if you get ejected out, you have however long it takes you to suffocate to get back in, and you can actually survive it. Your vision is fucked up afterwards, which will slowly recover because your eye. What is it? Your eye, the blood vessels in your eye pop.
Yeah,
all of them pop, and so you're like just seeing red, and your vision is fucked up for like 3 to 4 weeks or something like that.
That's fucking gnarly, dude.
Mm-hmm. Or
I just get literally
picked apart by those little fucking dinosaurs that killed Newman.
Still space.
Another myth about that, about the being ejected into space, is that your blood doesn't boil, because the pressure drop isn't high enough in order for your blood to boil. Like sweat and stuff will instantly evaporate. It instantly goes because the pressure drop is great enough to do it. But your blood will not, because your body's a closed system. Your skin is able to keep enough pressure in it for it to actually keep going as liquid.
Yeah.
That's a mind fuck. I didn't know any of that.
He's got schooled, son.
All right. Well, I still pick space.
The more fuck we know.
Yeah, high five, space death.
Yeah.
I just, you guys like really like realized how much and how intently I just paid attention for the first time
ever
hanging out with you guys. You just completely got my full attention right there. That's fucking mind blowing. Holy shit.
All right. I should read so a book on a lighter note.
I could send you the article, one of the articles yes. I have about
God damn it. I want to read about dying in space. That's the most interesting thing in the world now.
Interesting. So a funnier version of that question would be, would you rather be the construction worker that's on the Death Star 2 and it blows up, or just a construction worker on the park doing maintenance when the park goes awry?
I assume...
I would say the park when it goes awry. You leave that question just open for me to just go, hey, that fence went down, and I'm out.
I'm climbing this tree. Also, oh, you'd be shit, like, a T-Rex oh, hit me.
I was actually doing... like, I was painting the fence on the far side of the park. Where
in my contract, I can only work a minimum of 15 feet away from the closest exit.
Yeah.
So within that,
so I work so on exit
that
signs.
Circle, yeah. In that circle of an exit, it's immaculate. Everything works perfectly.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's all I do, guys.
Beyond that, it's just falling apart because no one's fixing
shit. I assume that the park has better insurance for your family, that when you die, they get that's a better true. Settlement.
Yeah.
Because I don't think the Empire.
Oh,
was
and your
very
family lives on the island with you because you're staying there all the time.
Oh, you gotta take the Death Star then. You can't let your family get eaten by dinosaurs.
Yeah, but at least there's a chance for you to go be the hero, go save your family.
Fuck
and,
that,
and get
dude.
Back
I'm
out.
Not gonna beat the a dinosaur,
death, the
dude.
Death, you're not gonna beat it, but you're gonna outsmart most of them.
No,
most of them.
Motherfucker, you just told me about shit that I guarantee you've known since you were a fucking little kid.
Mike's gonna be the guy who gets attacked with the flashlight in the woods, like. Who's there? Who's there? Who's there?
Who's there?
Just yelling. Who's out there? I got a flashlight.
All I'm saying is I guarantee you're on that fucking island.
Hey, when that guy looks like Newman.
Shit goes Newman.
I saw somebody at work that looked like him. Came in. I was like, oh, that's where he went.
Wayne Knight? No?
No?
No? Okay.
Like, who the fuck's Wayne Knight? Is a guy from the second Punisher.
The basketball coach that threw the chair?
That's good.
Space Jam.
That's good. No, okay, but like I was saying, you're on the Death Star, you blow up, fine. But if your family is on the fucking dinosaur island with you and shit goes awry, that's way worse than just dying.
Because
you
assuming...
know your wife and your kids are going to get eaten by a dinosaur too. I'm assuming worst case scenario again. Glass half empty. I'm going to get eaten by a fucking dinosaur. I don't want my kids and wife to get eaten by a fucking dinosaur, too. Because that sucks. What if they get eaten by a dinosaur before I get eaten by a dinosaur?
Then, I don't know.
Can I show the
or
you could have just told me.
Yeah.
It's funnier, though, that way.
Cody's showing off his new Mac.
58 and a half minutes.
Oh, thanks. People listening know. They're like, we know.
No.
We have an iPhone, you idiot.
Talking
shut
to
up.
You.
Don't tell me.
Talking to Mike.
Guys, the podcast is almost over. So
just bear with
let's
us
get
for a
your
few
minds
more minutes.
Wrapped around all this death talk real quick. Is there anything funner to talk about that we could leave out on? No?
I like all turtles.
Right. I like turtles. What else? Oh, the Star Wars. By the next time you talk to us, the Star Wars trailer we should see, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's right. Going to be on iTunes on Friday.
Oh, when this motherfucker, when you're listening to this, pause this motherfucker right now. because we're going to be done. You don't probably only have to listen to the last part. Go and watch that goddamn trailer, because I hope it's awesome. Do you imagine if it blows? Like, if you look at it and you're like, ugh.
There's going to be a lot of people who go, it is a teaser trailer.
I'm
though,
saying,
so.
I'm saying 88 seconds, though, dude.
Well, I'm just saying, they said it's like a teaser trailer.
But 88 seconds you're of, well, like, there's going to be glimpses of fucking...
There's gonna be fucking in it?
Yeah.
Glimpses of fucking.
Glimpses of characters and ships and stuff. You're gonna get, if they do 88 seconds of literally nothing but, hey, fucking words on a fucking blank screen.
One of the guys that works actually says, I hope it's 88 seconds of just Gungans fighting. And then Jedi Jar Jar shows up.
Oh.
Jedi Jar Jar, that's awful.
And everyone gets sad. That's worse than talking about blowing up on the Death Star, getting eaten by dinosaurs, guys.
Getting saved by Jedi Jar Jar.
If you're on the island about
Misa,
to
save you,
you're about to get eaten by a fucking dinosaur, and Jar Jar comes in. I shall save you, Massa. And you're like,
whoa, Massa. Huh? Whoa, Massa.
That's what he said in the movie, isn't it?
No,
I thought he had a master.
Oh, whatever. He said Mister.
He says like Misa Jedi Master or something like that.
Yeah, that's why I only watched that one like twice.
Misa Jedi Master.
But no, you definitely at that point you're like, I take the T-Rex now. Like I'll get eaten by a dinosaur Jar Jar.
Are you blowing up this base? Because I'll stay. We're not on a base. Can you blow me up? I don't want to be saved by.
Are there fucking Ewoks in this jungle too?
Can I have my head crushed in by my Ewok? It's got to be better than this. I'll take a tree bear.
The Ewoks.
They'll save me with their rocks. They're kind of cute. Spears and their stuff like that.
They like that golden fucking robot thing over there.
That's right.
Go hang out with that guy. Get on his good side. The Ewoks will take care of us.
And on that, that's it. Unless anyone else has got any other news.
Nope, we better end it there.
All right. Comes naturally, we are.
Joe.
Mike.
Cody.
Don't say go fuck yourself. Say it's like fuck
off.
Yeah.